Got it, Rex. Alex speaking.
Oh, hey, Alex. It's Sarah Sanderson calling.
Sarah,
just
can
had
I
my...
get a hold of
Yep,
sorry.
yep.
Sarah, are you there?
Yep.
Sorry about that. Sorry, what
That's
were you
okay.
saying?
I had the guy bring a car in this morning,
Yep,
the
been
red
inspecting.
Subi.
Yep.
Yeah. And I just wondered about a couple of things. Can I talk to you about it?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I noticed that it's just a cosmetic thing, but I know that it's going to drive me crazy. The handbrake button. The like cover on it's really worn off. And can you guys replace those, or would I go to Subaru for that? Or
We could probably order it in for you. It's not something we would
yeah,
carry. I mean, I don't see why we couldn't replace it. Just depends
yeah.
how much of the part you need to buy and how expensive it gets. That's the problem with Subaru. So sometimes little trinkets like that actually be quite pricey because they're not just like the cover plate. It's more, it comes with the electronic component with it.
Yeah.
So we'd
Okay.
have to quote it up. But yes, I don't think it's a problem for us to do.
Okay. And I don't know, the radiator, do you think it, I know that you said it, you guys said it'd be maybe go for 20,000, another 20,000 Ks or something. But I don't really want to be driving around worrying that the radiator's gonna blow
No,
up.
yeah, I don't think it's a worry. I think it's the guy suggesting off experience. We look at it and we sort of gauge. It's just a guess off
Okay.
experience. And it's like, you know what? The sooner the better, but it's
Yeah.
not absolute dire at the moment. But obviously, if you find that uneasy and you would rather have certainty, then yes, replacing it is the only way to get that certainty.
Okay. And oh, what else was I gonna ask? I don't think there was anything else major. I'm a bit unsure. Oh, the diesel aspect. The owner reckons he had did have trouble at the when he got the car a few times with the, I don't know, filter, diesel filter or something like that needing to be replaced, but it's been fine since. I just don't know. I don't know the advantage of getting a diesel or the disadvantage, really, apart from concern from you guys about buying a diesel.
So the diesel aspect, probably the easiest way to describe it is they've been proven to be quite problematic when issues arise. There's a couple of
Yeah.
things. A lot of guys don't carry parts for them.
Yeah.
They're quite expensive to fix. That's because a lot of guys don't carry parts for them.
Yep.
They are limited in range in terms of what's available in terms of
Mm
aftermarket replacement parts. The efficiency of their diesel, I mean, I don't know if you've looked up their fuel ratings, et cetera, but they're not that great in terms of, you know, the benefit of a diesel.
yeah.
So for us, it seems like the problematic aspect to the diesel far outweighs the benefits of having a diesel.
Okay.
And that's why we don't look at them favorably.
Yep.
Other than that, when they work, they can be quite nice. So
Yeah.
it's an unfortunate scenario. Because it could have been a great car, had some of those typical Subaru inherent problems and diesel problems not made their way through into that model. But it's difficult to know whether you'll have a great car for a long time or whether, you know, it will fall into the basket of the more probable diesel scenario
Okay.
down the
Yep.
track. So depending on how many kilometers you're wishing to get out of this vehicle, one thing I can say is servicing it frequently will definitely help the situation.
Yeah.
We find a lot of the diesels turn up here for us to look at, and we sort of don't do much with them. We don't do a lot of diagnostics or engine repairs. We do the servicing only on them. So even the services we offer for a diesel are quite limiting. But
Okay.
yeah, in saying that, they turn up here and they've already got 300,000 Ks on them.
Yeah.
So they're already pretty tired. And if you even if you looked at the petrol version of that car, even at 300,000 Ks, it's already had a few bouts of a few issues anyway. So in terms of dissimilarity between petrol and diesel, I think at higher kilometres, both of them have their own, you know, issues, even though different.
Mm-hmm.
But we just find that the limiting aspect of diesel in a Subaru range is definitely a tougher one to work with.
Yeah, okay. All right.
So, yeah, I mean, other than that, when they do work, they do drive quite nice.
Yeah. Okay, all right. Thanks so much. I really appreciate you doing that work for me this morning.
Anytime.
And, I don't know what to do, but I'll have a think.
How many
have a look.
Were on the car? I didn't personally look at it.
109.
109. And was it a one owner from brand new?
Yeah.
It was, yeah, one owner from brand new. And what would you anticipate trying to use this car for in terms of time and kilometres?
I don't know. I mean, until it dies.
Until it dies, okay.
It's really just like I've... The other thing, I guess, is we live in Footscray in inner city.
Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of what I'm doing is just sort of, short distance traveling around.
Yep.
But that said, at least 3 or 4 times a year, we'll do big trips.
Yeah.
So I need something that's going to be... I don't want like a little city car.
Yep.
I want something with a decent boot, which is why I like the Outback. I just hired one for a few weeks while we're away, and it was really good. I love it.
Really
I really
nice.
Liked it.
Was it a diesel model?
No.
No,
it was petrol.
Yeah. So.
But I don't care too much about like pickup or torque or I'm just a mum with 3 kids who are just.
More the chassis and what you can fit in there and how it drives.
Yeah.
In saying that, Sarah, the one thing with short trips is it doesn't favour diesels either, okay?
Yeah.
They do gum up. And what that means is there's a thing called a DPF on these cars. It's a diesel particulate filter.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a filter in the exhaust to filter out emissions. And as the diesels get newer and newer through the years, they have more and more of this emission stuff thrown at them, as do petrols, but diesels quite heavily because they're known for the black smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And so these filters, they block up quite easily. And this is one of the most common problems with these diesel Subaru engines. The DPF goes into a fault mode and they're quite expensive. They're anywhere between $2,000 and $4,000.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of sensors that are attached to them are also between $300 and $700.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a couple of parts. The job itself isn't a crazy job. It's just a very expensive process in parts.
Yeah.
And it's quite common for them to gum up. And you doing short trips in the diesel is probably one of the less desirable scenarios.
Okay.
For a diesel, if you had to, tell me what you're using the car for. You can omit this by taking it for a good run for an hour or so on the freeways.
Mm.
So if you're able to have like a country trip every now and then or, some sort of distant friend that you visit, having the car sit at a higher speed on the freeway is also good for it because it gets to burn off and clean out as much as it can.
Yeah.
This is not just a Subaru problem. This is a DPF problem across all diesel vehicles.
Yeah.
If you're using them for short trips where they're not getting to get up to heat and temperature for a long time, they will begin to back up the filter quite quickly.
Okay. Yeah, that's going to be a problem for me, I think.
Mm.
My brother does live in Woodend and we are out there. We do cruise out there pretty often, but...
It's a pretty good distance.
Yeah.
Not a bad one. Definitely not a bad one.
A lot of running around town, so it's tricky. Yeah, and
that sounds
really daunting, like
a
$3,000.
And it's not going to happen all the time. It's not something that's going to happen every year. You're not going to have this problem again and again and again. Sometimes, depending on how long you decide to keep the car for, I'd say most diesel owners will probably face this once in the duration of their ownership.
Okay. So if I kept it until like 300,000, it had 300,000 Ks on it, I might...
Would you anticipate you'd do, so you're at 100,000 now, so I'd say the average is about 80,000 a year, everyday driver, but you're doing a lot of short trips, so you probably wouldn't even achieve that. You would probably be, 40 to 60,000 Ks a year?
Okay.
So we would, 40 to 60,000, what am I saying? The average is around about 25,000 a year in kilometres.
Yeah.
And that would be someone doing, reasonable half an hour trips to work and back. you were doing very short trips, you'd probably be something like 15,000 a year. So we'd probably only see the car once a year for servicing.
Yeah.
In doing that, it would take you 4 to 8 years to achieve those kilometres you suggested.
Mm.
You would only be at 200,000 in the next 4 to 5 years.
Yeah.
So that's still pretty low kilometres for a diesel engine in terms of wear, provided it's running well. But the problem with all this high emission stuff is that there's still probability for that DPF to block up and create havoc.
Mm.
So servicing it always helps. Keeping fresh fuel filters, fresh oil and oil filters, and servicing it maybe more frequently than what Subaru suggests will keep it cleaner.
Yeah.
But there's just no guarantee, unfortunately.
Yep.
It's definitely advantageous, just not the sole answer.
Okay, well, maybe I'll just look at some petrol ones.
Have a look at a few petrol ones.
Yeah.
They're great cars too. The engines, typical mass manufactured car, will have its own little issues too throughout its life. Oil leaks is one of them that come to mind.
Mm.
Again, an inspection is probably one of the most important things you can do. Unfortunately, the 15 model to 20 model year ranges, or even earlier than 15, the particular engine style does have a few issues that are expensive to fix if they arise.
Right? Even with petrol.
Yeah, that's to do with engine oil leaks. There's no simple fix for them. It's an engine out scenario because of their layout. So, unfortunately, both the models are a little bit susceptible to expensive repairs if they arise.
Unless you can get one newer than 2020.
Correct. Unless you can
better?
Stretch. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, the lower the kilometres, the newer the car, the better.
Yeah.
Possibly even something that still has manufacturer's warranty.
Yeah.
You know, on the tail end of that, so you've got, you know, a 1 year grace period or 6 month grace period where we can look at the car and get you in for another service, and if anything arises, maybe get you down to the dealership for a warranty repair.
Yeah.
If it does sort of fall into that category. Obviously, it changes the pricing of the car quite dramatically.
Yeah, of course.
But the car you looked at this morning was a nice car. There is nothing, you know, that the guys had anything to say about it that was bad.
Yeah.
So that's quite a confidence-inspiring thing.
Yep.
But, you know, buying a second-hand car is unfortunately an open and risky.
And if you get this problem with the diesel filter, is it like a you're going to break down scenario?
There's a couple of things that happen. It brings on engine lights. Sometimes if it gets really bad, it can put it into a limp mode where it lets you drive at a very low speed.
Mm-hmm.
More often than not, it's just engine lights, no cruise control, a little bit of a lack of power.
So I would have a bit of warning.
Yeah, correct. Yes, absolutely. Yep. It'll warn you. It'll bring up lights in front of your face. You might find it doesn't drive the same, but it still drives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, it's not a breakdown scenario where it turns off.
Okay, that's encouraging.
No, don't. Can't say I've experienced that in a diesel where it has a complete shutdown of the car.
Okay, awesome. All right. Alrighty. Thank you. Oh, I really appreciate it. I'm so grateful.
No worries. You're welcome. You're welcome.
I might just have a look.
Definite answers.
Yeah, no. Well, I mean, I like the car. It's fine. I'm not... It's just, I guess, considering the types of trips we're doing. I do tend to do country drives pretty regularly, so maybe it's okay.
I think it'll be fine. I think if you're doing a few short trips and every couple of weeks you can get out there and give it a decent run, this is purely something that just helps prevent, you know, this issue arising frequently.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not actually driving it to work. I don't probably drive it that much. I've got like 3 kids' activities that I'd go to within a 10-kilometre range, so it's like 3 times a week, and then Coles is around the corner, so I don't drive to the supermarket even.
Yeah.
So I'm not driving it a lot. I just want something that I can go away in and have boot space, and, you know, that's some of the main things for me. So maybe
I
it'll
think
be good.
The car, it is a great car, and a lot of people love them despite their issues.
Yep.
It just ticks a lot of boxes.
Yeah.
Which is a pretty standard Subaru thing. They'll go through the years and they'll make a model that everyone's like, what have you done? And then they'll get to another model where people will hold on to those cars with their life, no matter how much they end up costing them, as silly as that sounds.
Yes.
And they just find cool. It just ticks too many boxes.
It just makes me angry. The only thing that makes me really anxious is you sort of saying there are things that we can't fix here, you know. You need
to enlighten or to clarify what I mean by that is if the automatic needs a transmission repair, was that an automatic model you dropped through?
Yeah.
It was, wasn't it? Yep. We would send the automatic transmission away. Uh-huh. So we'd still be able to take it out, or we could even send you straight to the automatic transmission specialist where they would deal with the issue.
Yeah.
Okay, that's throughout the whole Subaru range. So it's not the diesel issue. It's just an automatic Subaru thing. If it does arise, that's how we would deal with that problem. What that creates is a bit of lead time. So we normally book that a few weeks in advance. You might be without a car for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
That's one scenario. Second scenario is if the engine has an issue, we would also send that out to an engine specialist. So we'll take the engine out, send it away, and we would have a couple of week lead time where we would wait for the engine to re-arrive. That would be your two worst case scenarios that I can think of.
Okay.
So still we'll be able to help you. We wouldn't just say to you, sorry, we only change oil, we can't help you, but we would have to possibly point you in the right direction with people in the industry that we've dealt with before.
Okay, thank you. All right. Okay. All right. Thanks so much. I'll let you go.
No worries.
Really appreciate it. Okay,
you're welcome.
See ya.
Have a good one.
Bye. Bye.